Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Childcare Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live via Zoom with Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
And Lisa Murphy in the virtual studio. We have Moms of Grand Rapids.
Apparently, oh my gosh, just saw that.
No, we have Annie Friday with us. Friend of the show, Annie Friday. How you doing, Annie?
I'm good. I just realized I'm in the wrong Zoom account.
Well, you can be in whatever Zoom account gets you here, as far as we're concerned. So I heard a while ago that Annie is doing a scary thing, starting a new project, and we here at the Child Care Bar and Grill applaud people going out and doing the scary thing. So we invited her on the show to talk it down, break it down and talk it up, I guess is what I was trying to say. So Annie, what are you doing? Tell us about it.
I'm opening a school. I'm partnering with a friend and colleague and fellow mom, and we are opening an Agile Learning Center school in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
So many questions. What is an Agile Learning Center?
So an Agile Learning Center is a model of school that I should probably have more knowledge on. It really, I didn't know about ALCs until the beginning of March. My friend Candace and I, who are doing this together, have dreamed for years about if we opened a school, what it could look like. And she found the ALC model back in probably January. And then, so it's a model of unschooling, okay, where you actually collectively come together and unschool.
So it's just kind of, instead of parents unschooling as a version of homeschooling by themselves, it's kind of a collaborative effort.
Yeah, and there's a network of ALCs, which is really nice. So I think each one has a little bit of a different vibe to it. Some of them are more of the homeschool hybrid model, and some are more of a five-day-a-week full-time school. And even some of them specialize more for children with special needs, like kids who are on the spectrum and kids who have ADHD and maybe aren't served quite so well by traditional school models.
Well, that sounds very agile.
It's very agile. Yes. And I think that the term agile comes from the fact that they're given tools that are more agile, that create, that it's like how in the tech world, people's jobs are a little bit more agile. They don't necessarily have to sit at a desk and work 9 to 5, and they're taught to be creative thinkers and use that agility in their day-to-day work life. And so now, that the model of school that was created about 100 years ago is a little outdated. We're trying to make good factory workers, and now we need to be agile and make creative thinkers.
I'm curious, because I wrote it down so I can do some of my own homework after. This is going to sound awkward, but is it like a franchise that you kind of bought into, or are you using their name? Can you elaborate a little bit more on
Yeah,
that?
So it's a network. It's not a franchise. We get to be our own LLC. We are Blue Bridge ALC. We pay to be part of a network. It's a pretty small annual fee, and we are on a Slack, which is, the cool new thing I've heard of. I've never been part of the Slack
What does that mean?
You guys know what I'm talking about.
We are old, Annie.
Okay, I know you're old. I just, you know, in the education world, we don't get to be cutting edge very often. And this is, it's not even cutting edge anymore. And there are probably people listening to this pod like, oh my gosh, what is she talking about? But it's basically like an internal Facebook for networking internally within a company.
Okay.
So we can reach out and say things like, hey, does anyone have a lease? We're opening a space within a space. Anyone have a sample lease we can take a look at and maybe adapt? And so it's been really helpful. It feels a lot less on our own.
Yeah. And I mean, having that structure to build on has got to be great compared to, it would just, to me, it would seem overwhelming to start from scratch.
Yeah. You know, so Candace had been working on this, like I said, since about January. I came on right at the beginning of March, just after our closure. She and I had our first, you know, we'd been loosely talking about it, but we had our first real time that we were able to connect. And it was really easy to say yes at the beginning of the pandemic because everything felt so unknown that I was just like, eh, why not? Yeah, sure. That's what happened.
Well, as people started thinking a month or two ago about school opening, this kind of thing became a lot more popular. I think you guys are just a few months ahead of what a lot of people are at that are considering their own kind of do-it-yourself schooling process.
Yeah. Which is also a little bit frustrating for me as a parent of school age children. Like, why weren't we having these kinds of conversations on a national level starting in March? Like, maybe it's not a good idea to send our kids back to school next year. And could we open a bunch of micro schools? You know, every office building has a boardroom that's not being used. Every church has a basement classroom. Like, we could have done this on a more organized national level instead of just sending kids back talking about hand sanitizer and masks.
Yeah, but
6 months.
To be fair to us, in March, people were saying this was going to be a short-term lockdown to flatten the curve, and it has become something different than that. So, I mean, to be
right, some people were, but I think on a national level, they should have seen. I mean, I have a good friend who's an epidemiologist, and he was one of the first people, and it was in the spring. He said, "I'm not a betting man, but I will bet you kids will not be back in school in September."
I would bet that people working at the national level are so disconnected from the human beings that they are attempting to govern and or subjugate that they really don't have much at stake themselves, which is why we talked about this in the last episode of Recorded. We need to be thinking more about local decision making. And if this whole pandemic taught us anything, it's that our quote unquote experts on the national and state levels are generally maybe not to be trusted at the harshest, and more generally, maybe to be questioned a little bit more about the decisions they're making. Of course, that's just my rant.
No, and I listened and appreciated to that episode with Josie, and I think for me that was a big piece of the, you asked me in an email, why now? And I can't really wrap my head around why now. Something I've thought about doing for a long time. I think the whole idea of seeing that support fall away or not have, like, maybe it was never there, but we thought it was. I don't know. My oldest son just finished his kindergarten year at our neighborhood public school. It's a great school. They have phenomenal teachers, but there's a lot of disconnect on what is appropriate for a 5 or 6 year old to be asked to do or to learn. And it just, like, that was the first, I was last in a kindergarten classroom probably as a teacher probably 15 years ago. So I guess I just didn't realize how far we have gone astray.
Drifted. How far we've drifted.
Sure.
Yes. I mean, it's just crazy. And how different it is depending on where you are and what kind of school you're in and what kind of money your district has or your private school has. I think there are some really great kindergarten classrooms that still have a lot of play-based learning. My son's did not. And I think that was, you know, because that push down of academics is just so pushed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And I mean, you mentioned the factory model of schooling. It is, like you touched on, the exact opposite of agile. You try to get a school district to make a decision about anything, and there are so many moving pieces. And again, probably generally well-intentioned people, although I always use that as a caveat for things before I blast into them. But more and more, I think maybe some people aren't so well-intentioned. And that just tends to be the reality. I think it's, you know, we talk about COVID as everybody's life is ruined, it's miserable, but I think it also has freed people up to act in ways they might have been too busy, too scared to act in before. And so I think there are probably plenty of benefits to the situation we find ourselves in. You engaging in this new endeavor is one of them I wanted to highlight. So what's the program, what's it going to look like on the ground?
Yeah, I was just going to ask. What age? Yeah, so where ages?
Yeah, we are ages 3 to 12, so preschool, and the intention, we actually chose 12 because we had a family with a 12-year-old who wanted to be part of our program. Like, all right, cool, we'll go up to 12, and then we'll hopefully grow with the kids as they continue, and it will look like a play-based preschool looks, I think. There we'll have two groups, so we're starting really small. We've got 4 rooms in a spiritual center, essentially a church, and they are we're gonna have 2 groups of max 10 kids and the 2 of us facilitators, and probably you know, this model is meant so that community members participate as facilitators, also parents, whoever, you know, people and adults in the children's lives could come in. We'd have volunteers come in. Obviously won't look quite the same this year, but it's hands-on, self-directed, self-led, a lot of outside time. In particular this year, we're going to focus on that really as much as possible, create as much outdoor play space and classroom-like environments. Anything you have inside, we'll have outside.
All is it a stuff. Shared space? Like, do you have to like put everything away at the end of the day, or it can be fluid?
We are working that out. Okay. It's a shared space a little bit in the fact that they use the rooms on Sundays only. They're very small groups of kids. It sounds like they would like to grow as a faith community. But right now, and especially because of the pandemic, they're not having in-person meeting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's only one other person who works from the space, and that's part-time, and she's on the other end of the building. So yeah, it's quiet, mostly ours. They've been together for a long time. It's a 100-year-old community that we're walking into, so it's hard. You know, there's a lot of stuff there. You know, like when you walk into an old school building that just has, like, they're like, we don't have any closet space, and they're like, but we have this boiler room, and things just start falling out of it. And you're like, what do you have in there? And that's hard, right? It's hard to clear out our spaces and get rid of things that have meaning to somebody. But we look at it and we're like, really, this bulletin board with newspaper clippings and pictures from the last 100 years? Like, we might actually honor it better. We put it in a scrapbook or we've been having a lot of those conversations. Navigating working with a new group of people is always tricky.
So what's
tell me about
go ahead.
Sorry, I'm curious, for lots of different reasons. Talk to me about marketing, bringing people in. Do you all know each other? I mean, and I'm only asking this because of COVID. I this would never have crossed my mind before, but how is that different, navigating starting a new program when people are weird with each other right now?
Yeah, it is weird. So 20 kids is our total for every day. We didn't do a lot of advertising, and part of that was because it was when we thought, like, oh, this pandemic thing is temporary. And we did some online virtual kind of webinar info sessions. Those families seem to be already in the homeschool world. Looking, you know, people who are already looking for alternatives. One of our very first signed up students was the colleague of my son's speech therapist. When I told her what I was doing, and she was like, wow, he's, you know, this kid needs your school. So it's, yeah, Grand Rapids is a pretty small community. I know some of the families. We did do 2 days of open house and kind of tried to stretch that out as long as possible, had people walk through with masks and meet us outside to get more of the down low. And it was, yeah. I mean, it's just tricky. We're trying to figure out how to do it so there's less cross-contamination. We are trying to, you know, equity is a big piece of the ALC model. It's really important to Candace and I at Blue Bridge that we do not open a school for privileged kids, or you know, privileged white kids in particular. So yeah, we're trying to be thoughtful with enrollment, and we are leading also with a COVID agreement just to say we are entering into a community together. We've now learned in all new ways. Our health is reliant on each other's health and honesty. And so, you know, please let us know.
I'm wondering if that could be, I'm interrupting you, if that could be one of the benefits that Jeff had mentioned. I know in my other cohort, so to speak, that's been a very, very common discussion point the last couple of months, is that, you know, of course, nobody, this should go without saying, but nobody's wishing or would have ever wished a pandemic on anybody. However, I think specifically to early childhood, it has allowed for more honest conversations, especially like that. So I would imagine starting with like literally all of your cards on the table, you know, you would be starting from a place, I would hope, or maybe could assume, of a little bit more transparency between people and their concerns or goals, objectives, frustrations. I mean, just in light of the day on the calendar that it is right now, or the time frame that we're in right now. Have you felt that at all? I know you've been involved in other programs. Do you feel like there's more get right to the chase right away so we do start on the same page together?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's been a big, big piece of it. Like, just saying, like, this is who we are. I mean, Lisa, you're the one who tells the story about asking people for their house keys and their car keys. Like, it's that level of trust. And I think we're learning it in a new, on a totally new level. Like, we are in this together. And it was interesting as the discussion of people privately just forming pods and learning groups and whatever else they're doing, it was interesting to think about. Like, okay, so we're basically doing that because our school is so small. It's essentially the size of a pod. So these families have to really know that they're getting into it with each other.
No, I mean, it's the one room schoolhouse model, except you got four rooms. I mean, it really is. It's a little house on the prairie. And that's great, because there's the mixed age, the community feel that you get with such a small group. There's so many benefits to that kind of smaller type setting. What was the paperwork side of things like as far as being a school and all that fancy stuff?
So we are actually DBA, doing business as Blue Bridge School, because we are not a school. We will be licensed as a childcare center. We're still in the middle of that process. And that's just the standard process of that. And then as far as schooling goes, the families will register as if they're homeschooling their children, and we'll just help them with that process. We are part of, we have a large homeschooling community in West Michigan, and there are a couple of school districts that are kind of popular to run your records through and things like that. And so we, two of the three had put everything on hold because of the pandemic. So we weren't able to register as a community partner with them, but we are with one of them. And so some families who register through that program will get reimbursed for, up to a certain dollar amount or one day or something like that.
Yeah. That's the other thing I was going to ask about is fees, tuition. I mean, you got to keep the lights on, and how, what's that looking like?
So it's interesting. ALCs encourage, and I don't think this is a non-negotiable. I think every school navigates it slightly differently in the ALC model, but we have a sliding scale-based tuition. So we give kind of suggested tuition amounts, and then we take a statement of need and say, give us an offer if you can't pay this, and tell us kind of why, which is interesting. And that's been tricky too in the pandemic. Everyone's struggling right now, right? Like, nobody's like, oh, I've just got all this extra cash I'm sitting on, so let me pay somebody. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, but yeah, we've negotiated a really low rent because of the pandemic, and knowing that at some point we'll have to close. There's nothing going on. It's not like we're renting a commercial space.
Well, go back to what you just said. Because you know you're going to have to close. What, this is a temporary arrangement because of the pandemic or?
No, sorry. So we will, I'm guessing that at some point we will have to close because of sickness. You know, like a lot of schools, a lot of childcare centers who are open right now, I've seen go through various stages of open, right? Like if somebody gets sick in the center, you have to close for 2 weeks. And it's so hard and everything's moving so fast that there aren't answers. Like there's not really a great go up to the public health center's website and find out what to do. You just, they're basically saying, call us on everything. So if X, Y, and Z happen, if this employee gets sick and was there, then, you know, every decision is different.
Yeah. Along these lines, as far as funding this kind of project, what is it, 2 days ago as we record this, Senator Rand Paul, a pretty libertarian kind of guy, I guess, he introduced a bill that would tie school funding directly to children. So instead of sending money to school districts, money would go to families to use as they saw fit, whether it was a public school or a private school or a home school setup, kind of like you're working on, and that kind of thing. And I think that, I mean, again, I'm a small government guy. I think that makes a lot of sense because it does put more of that control in the hands of parents as well as innovators like you, because if we're going to change the monolith of the public school systems, and look, there's I can bitch about public school systems all day long, but there's a lot of good there as well. And they are not agile like you're talking about. And one way to change things is to throw some competition in there and things like you're doing, things like charter schools. And the now Rand Paul's proposition is not going to go anywhere, because both Democrats and Republicans are beholden to voters, and teachers unions are not a big fan of competition. And so it's going to die, but it is one of those ideas that could actually on a national level have positive impact in individual communities. If we can make something like that work, I think, and I'm sure there's downsides to it as well, but there is a lot of upside giving parents more power and control and choice in their child's education again.
That sounds very much like the Crawling Behind guy, the author. Have you read that one, Annie? Yet?
I haven't actually, but I know Lisa did, or not Lisa, Heather. Didn't she do a book club about that?
She interviewed him actually on the on the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Elliot.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. I mean, I think that makes sense on a lot of levels, and I think that's, you know, the problem with a lot of this. Yeah, it's just there's a big group of haves and a big group of have-nots and a bunch of people in between, and it's tricky to figure it out. And it's also really hard when your kids are 5 years old to make decisions like, will my son be better in a Montessori school or a Reggio school? And, you know, we have that landscape in Grand Rapids where we have a lot of theme schools and privatized public education options. And man, it's confusing. And as a parent, you know, we moved there. I had a 2-year-old and I was pregnant, and immediately people were like, well, where are you sending your kids to school? I'm like, I don't know. I've got a 2-year-old. Like I can't even find a childcare right now. It'll be really interesting to see what happens. I think, like you said a few times, Jeff, that we're all looking at community so differently and our community feels smaller, right? We're kind of leaning away from globalism right now. We can barely even go out of our neighborhoods in some places. So it's interesting to see what that does to neighborhood schools, community schools. I don't know.
Yeah, well, allowing families more power and control means you also require them to do more research. I mean, when the public school is the only choice, you don't have to think about it very much. Yeah, especially if you are in a low income situation and kind of locked in, the local public school is your only choice. When you start opening up charter schools or pods or programs like yours, these hybrid situations, it requires more study. But that is probably, I mean, that's a good problem to have, I suppose.
Yeah, it's interesting. So in Grand Rapids, they have like a couple nights throughout the year where they do like school expos where you can come and learn about the theme schools. The theme schools are much less integrated than the traditional public schools. And I think a lot of that too is just even the access to get to the expo night. If you've got a bunch of kids and you're working 2 or 3 jobs, and I mean, it was hard and I felt like an informed participant as a teacher and educator and Yeah, I don't know.
Is there really a Blue Bridge?
There is, yes. The Blue Bridge is a pedestrian bridge in downtown Grand Rapids that crosses the Grand River, which is where Grand Rapids gets its name. And it's cool. They do a ton of community events on the Blue Bridge. And
events it's a nice symbol of Grand Rapids. Isn't that dangerous?
It's a pedestrian bridge. So they're doing like free yoga classes on the bridge.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Cool stuff happens on the Blue Bridge.
I've been to Grand Rapids. I don't remember seeing how grand is. Is the river grand under the bridge?
It is grand. They actually are in the process of putting the rapids back into the Grand Rapids River, the Grand River.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool, I think, when it's done. They've got a really cool park on the river called Fish Ladder Park where they spawn and release fish. And it's a
That's
cool
so
place
sexy.
To be for kids.
now tell us about the whole process for you, because one of the things we've come back to time and again over our 630 plus episodes is that moment somebody decides to jump in and take on a scary thing. Do you know what that moment was, or is just what was that process for you?
Well, it's funny, Jeff. I don't know if you remember, you and I had a call about a year and a half ago, and I was struggling with my school decision for my son. He's a late birthday, you know, August birthday. And I've walked endless amounts of parents, not endless because there's an end to the number of parents I've walked through this, but I've walked other parents through this, right? As a preschool teacher and preschool director, you are often pulled in on these conversations. What should I do with my kid for next year in kindergarten? And you said, what about unschooling? And I was like, no, I need to stick with the public school. And I was just digging my heels in, but I think after this year and seeing what is going on in schools, and I think, you know, you made some great points about the teachers union in your last article or your last episode. You see things like that happen that you're like, why aren't the teachers on the playground? Why is it a parapro who doesn't have a lot of education and experience with kids and is asking them to stand against the wall for an entire period of recess because the kids were too loud in the hallway on the way out to the playground? Like, there's a problem there. And systems take a really long time to change. And I think I just started to realize that we just needed more change happening faster.
I guess I just kind of implied that it was a scary thing for you, because it would have been scary for me. Was it scary to do this, or was it just kind of like, yep, that's what we're doing, and then you're cool with it?
That was me more. Like, yeah. My husband, the next day, I was like, so I'm opening a school. And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, just Candace asked last night. And I said, yeah. It does feel scary now, though. And it starts to feel scary when you start actually putting money into it and thinking, I'm going to be responsible for all of these children and families. And the pandemic makes it a lot scarier. Like, this is health on a new level that, you know, I don't really want to be responsible for. But I also know that this is a school choice that's needed in our community.
And exciting?
So exciting.
Good.
Yeah, it's so exciting. I mean, it was hard when I walked into the space, and it's, you know, they had these big zoo safari wallpaper decals on the wall, like this huge wall of a giant monkey in the nursery. And I'm like, I don't have the vision. Like, I'm struggling here a little bit. And then thinking, like, what was it in my dreams when I thought about opening a school? What were the materials? What did the walls look like? And, you know, I've done this in classrooms and I've opened schools for other people, but this is my school and I get to say what kind of blocks I want and stuff like that. So,
yay.
Yeah, it's exciting.
How many other staff are you considering bringing on? Or that volunteer model that you were saying a few minutes ago?
Yeah, we'll probably start with one part-time staff member. So there will be three of us total.
Nice.
Well, I'm very excited to check in the future, 6 months down the road, and see how it's going. See if you are still excited and still scared.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's gonna be very exciting and very scary at the beginning, and then you're gonna settle into it, and there's gonna be growing pains, and it's all gonna be amazing, because that's just kind of the way life is, period. But especially when you're jumping into new things.
Yeah, I agree. I hope that I have a good report. And I think a big piece of this too is that we're all talking a lot more about play and connecting more about play and the importance of play with this pandemic. And, you know, the different webinars and conferences and summits that have been happening have connected people in a new way, you know, within early childhood and beyond. Like, I think the conversation is extending now to elementary school, and I hope we can support that and be part of that landscape.
Absolutely. Well, I will, listeners, I'll do my best to put the link to Agile Learning Center's website in the show notes. Chances are I'll forget. I wrote it down, but you'll know how to Google. You'll be able to find it. Annie, if people are looking for you and want to reach out to you or find you, you got a website out there, don't you?
I do. I have a website. It's terrible. I need to update it, but it's A Friday Perspective. You probably shouldn't tell people you've got terrible things when you're selling yourself. My Instagram.
No, I do that all the time because I like to keep expectations really low.
Go low. Like, be blown away by my website when you visit it, because it's no. But my my Instagram is where I share a lot. A Friday Perspective is my Instagram handle. I'm Annie Friday, and we are the Blue Ridge School.
That is amazing. Thank you for joining us, Annie. Thank you for listening, listeners. Thank you for being here, Lisa Murphy. Any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
Thanks, Annie. I wish you all the best. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.